The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome to It Came From the Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, I have Giggle McGee, Hassan Godwin. Say hi, Hassan.
Hi, Hassan. The traveling correspondent. How come I can't get you to call me the traveling correspondent?
The wanderer.
We get the senior Hassan correspondent. Godwin. No. The traveling correspondent. That's perfect.
But you're not traveling. You're actually here.
That's because I've traveled here.
I traveled
a heck of a way to get here today. So, traveling correspondent. Thank you.
Hassan Godwin.
Thank you for a title, finally, after 15 years.
It's only been 10.
Thank you.
And our very own senior correspondent, Charles Seldon, will be generally working.
Yes, the guy who's got a title, even though he's not here yet. That's fantastic. Yes, he will generally be walking into the door.
If anybody has any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to us on the live audio streaming.
Dead audio stream.
And also on the GBB website, you can see us right here, along with Brian the Engineer, on the high-definition web camera right now, provided that you're listening to us live on the show, not on iHeartRadio, which
going.
We are also a part
keep
of.
Keep going. Don't get existential. Just keep going.
And I guess we'll just take it away with the news.
You should take it away with the news, Mark.
As normal, the news is brought to you in part by the folks at the New York Comic Book Marketplace, which is in charge of the Big Apple Con, of which we are the official show of. The Big Apple Con is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year, with a convention going back to its roots at the Penn Pavilion across the street from Madison Square Garden. Tickets are on sale right now for, I believe, it's $20. And if you don't want to use your fancy credit card, you can send them a money order or check for only $15.
Paper check.
You get a discount for sending a check.
Really? You get a discount for using a check?
Yes, $15 if you send a money order or check.
Wow.
You only have to pay $15 to get it.
That's pretty awesome.
The headliner right now is none other than Jason David Frank, the original Green Power Ranger, who is very popular. And none other than Rowdy Piper.
Rowdy Piper. Yes, well done. Rowdy Piper.
He's very rowdy. He's so rowdy.
And he's a Rowdy, and his last name is Piper.
Yes.
Yes, gotcha.
He's going to be there as well, just announced. And for more information, go to www.nycbm.com. That's New York Comic Book Marketplace, nycbm.com.
Well done.
Let's see what we got here.
What do you got? What's in the news? Ooh, I miss Belmore Towing, by the way. I just want to keep saying I miss the rat bastards at Belmore Towing. They had complimentary coffee. It was really bad coffee, but it was complimentary.
It was
yeah, when they sponsored us.
Rat bastard taste.
Tastes like rat bastards.
The numbers are in, and the North American box office for 2014 was down 5% from 2013.
Ooh, not good.
To put things into perspective, 2013 pulled in $10.9 billion, with a B, dollars, while this year, which is 2014,
right,
only made $10.4 billion.
5 points off.
So
five.
There's some type of descent in the amount of money the American box office.
$500 million difference, right there.
Yeah, that's a lot of dollars.
Yeah, $500 million is substantial.
You could buy a donut with that, or something.
You could buy a couple of donuts, maybe three. If they were Krispy Kremes.
You can buy that on that comic book.
Yes, and a comic book. You could buy the donuts and a comic book with that much money. One of the special Detective Comics, like Detective Comics, or Action Comics 1.
You get
Action Comics 1,
breaking,
and at least three donuts with $500 million.
At least three donuts, yes. That's the plan.
Mr. Ginger.
Speaking of box office with money.
Ah, well done.
American Sniper pulls in a record-breaking $90.2 million over the opening week for its month of January. To put things into perspective, once again, on Friday, the film made $30 million, beating out the previous record holder way back in 2008, which was Cloverfield.
Really?
Which made $17.2 million on the opening day.
Nice.
The executives say, this movie has become a cultural phenomenon. It tore apart the record book, but not by a little, by an enormous amount. Speaking of record breakers, The Wedding Ringer is now the highest R-rated January opening at $25 million last week.
I was trying to be discreet.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and move it.
Yeah, heck with that.
Well, that ship has sailed.
For those who do not know, the senior correspondent Charlie Saladino has gingerly,
which was attempting to be ginger.
He's trying to be ginger, but
and the engineer's like, ah,
Brian the engineer was not amused with his ginger name. So therefore,
so the executives say, Kevin Hart really is the guy that everybody wants to hang with. Not only is he funny, but he's that guy that you want to sit down with and
have a beer
with. I don't
believe anything the executive says in that voice.
He excludes charisma.
Yeah, it wasn't the executive voice. It's unbelievable. Do it again in the executive voice. Go ahead, do it again.
Yeah, that was your news anchor voice. Do the executive
voice.
That wasn't the executive voice.
Kevin Hart really is the guy that everybody wants to hang with. Not only is he always funny, but he's that guy that you want to sit down with and have a beer.
He excludes charisma.
Now we got to go see
this
movie.
There you go.
We're going to go out after the show and see this movie now. Thank you, executive voice.
However, on the flip side, the movie Black Hat, which is a Michael Mann hacking movie.
Yeah, with Thor.
With Thor wearing a black hat instead of a silver one.
Apparently. Without wings.
It only made
no hammer.
$4 million.
It wasn't hammer time. It was not hammer time.
Yeah, you can't touch that.
So keeping in mind that's how poorly that movie did.
Well, people don't want to see Chris Hemsworth
do anything else.
Yeah, but be Thor.
Of note, the projected take for Black Hat, which cost $70 million to make, was $10 million. So it went below expectations.
Really?
With $4 million, and they thought it was going to make 10.
Wow.
That's how.
Wow. So that was the lowest projection was 10.
10.
And it went $6 million.
It exceeded projections.
It exceeded their expectations, but not in a good way.
If you notice, there wasn't a lot of promo out on that. It was just the TV stuff.
Yeah, really. Yeah, I didn't see anything.
I just saw some. Well, I don't really have cable, so I didn't see any advertising at all. But I don't ever see advertising. But even on the trains and stuff, it was just really lackluster.
Also, right, and even the advertising.
Yeah, we were not inundated.
They really can't tell he's Thor. So even if the sci-fi geeks saw, recognized him, I think the movie would have made more money.
Maybe he should have had the helmet. He should have had the helmet with the wings.
Adventures in Babysitting.
Yes,
like the guy who played Thor in Adventures in Babysitting.
Exactly.
Who
kind of worked with Belmore Towing? Didn't he?
They should have just had a scene where he picked up a carpenter's hammer. So just one.
They had that in the Equalizer. He picked up a hammer, so it was almost Thor. It was almost Thor. It was that close to Thor.
The new Thor, like the new Annie,
Thor-ish.
The new
Thor.
Yes, it was Thor-ish.
And finally, this bit of news I felt was a big
is the news over already?
It's a big thing. There were no deaths to report, although I'm sure somebody died.
Yeah, a couple people probably kicked it.
Our thoughts and prayers are with them, but
ways only it came from the radio can have their thoughts and prayers with.
For
with
all the people who died people. This week,
yeah.
we'll give them the Julio thing.
At a press conference Tuesday afternoon, none other than Marvel Entertainment confirmed that it will finally reboot its comic book universe during the summer Secret Wars event. The first issue of the series will feature the end of the current Marvel Universe as we know it, and will subsequently merge all other existing universes into one. The execs say...
Here we go.
This is a bad idea.
It is difficult to imagine something that would be larger in scope and scale than Secret Wars. This is putting an end cap on decades of stories. This is a place where we'll be putting new pieces on the board and taking old pieces off. You'll be shocked at the chances we're willing to take. The Marvel Universe, as you know it, is done.
Shovel, oh, please.
Because the New 52 is working so well for Warner Brothers.
That's one of the things. For those of you who don't know, let's pay a little background
context.
Story.
Context is always good.
Comic books have been around for quite some time. Marvel Universe has been around since 1961.
Six and a half minutes.
It's been around since 1961.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, the two major companies, which is DC and Marvel, have a different approach of how the comic book universe works.
Right, one sucks and the other one doesn't. The
Marvel Universe has a 10-year rotating span. So anytime you pick up a comic book, everything that's happened before it happened about 10 years ago. And even if you read something in the 80s, it was 10 years ago, everything happened in the 70s, and so on. So if you read something now, everything happened in the 2000s. That's okay. How the Marvel Universe works.
Right.
So even though, you know, all the old comics still exist, everything actually happened, everything is there, but it's been about 10 years they've been running around being superheroes for all the entire universe.
Right.
DC, however, decided to go along with having each generation of comics with the Silver Age Superman, Silver Age Flash, there's different types of Flashes running around. We're all on different universes.
Different worlds. Infinite Earths.
Right. And we live on one world where there is no superheroes, so we're also incorporated in the comic book world. And then, as DC was known for doing, they had this event called Crisis of Infinite Earths, where they felt that their followers were getting too confused on the backstories where things happen. And then there's stories that didn't seem to kind of fit in with the current place of the DC universe. So they decide we're just going to have an event which carries over all things involved in the DC universe, get rid of everything, start fresh. And then about 10 or 15 years later, they did it again.
Right.
And then about 10 or 15 years later, they did it again. And then DC, 2 years ago, decided that we're just going to get rid of everything that's existed beforehand to try and get the new readers in, and call it the new 52. They're making 52 titles of 52 universe and have everything all together. And that was the one thing where they had Wonder Woman had the pants instead of the bikini shorts, and Superman doesn't have the underwear on; it's just blue pants. And so it was.
He went commando.
yeah, pretty much.
He totally went.
It was a bold move for a company, you know, that's pretty much has their stake within the history of,
right,
the, of their stuff.
Right.
To just
that
say
was their big boost.
Nothing else. There's everything is, we're done. Finish. We're starting from point A. So if you know nothing about anything at all, start reading our comics now. Everything will be fine. Sales were great for about 2 or 3 months. And then it just kind of started going down. And now DC is considering bringing back old stories and old things because it's not working as well as expected.
Yeah.
Thus screwing up their whole theory to begin with.
The whole
exactly.
plan in the beginning. I've read a couple of articles that are kind of basically all the citizen journalists and, you know,
right,
in the aggregate, basically just calling off a roll call of titles that are just being canceled,
right,
as we go through the new year. So New 52, not as successful as they wanted it to be.
Right. And during all this time, as Marvel has that 10-year kind of rotating time frame, they're saying, ha-ha, look at you guys. We're just keep on going. You know, how dare you insult your readers, longtime fans, by just getting rid of whatever came before.
Right.
We're never going to do anything like that. That's never going to happen. Never, ever, 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 ever.
Except
and
for
now they're going to do the exact same thing, which is get rid of everything that happened before it, kind of mix it all together, and to be fair, the Marvel Universe has had other universes that are out there, such as the Ultimate Universe, which is kind of a, I guess, the baseboard for the movie stuff.
Right.
Because they didn't have the spandex for the costumes for the X-Men. The Spider-Man origin kind of matched the Amazing Spider-Man origin. Kind of matched what happened in that Ultimate Universe. And they actually killed off Peter Parker in that universe. So they've done kind of risque things in that world, but it wasn't the official Marvel Universe, so they can kind of do a little bit that and still get away with, no, this isn't really happening, this is a different universe. Yeah. But now, they're smushing it together, squeezing it together, now it's going to be a brand new...
So the Ultimates universe is joining their yes. normal continuity universe.
Yes. Everything is coming all together.
And didn't they do that years ago with like 2099? They had
they tried a whole new offshoot
of the universe. They decided
to make a universe of whatever happens in the year 2099.
Right.
And then that was its own little universe.
Yeah. And then they had a new universe, which was prior to that.
Right.
Which I remember was
a creator-owned thing, and they tried that. But ultimately, it was, this is the regular Marvel universe. The Hulk stole the Hulk. Spider-Man stole Spider-Man. Everything is the way it is.
Right.
All these years, we're never going to do what our competitor is doing, especially since it didn't work.
Yeah, since the competitor, since the fans of our competitors are not happy with what their competitors were doing.
So now they are doing exactly what they're doing and wiping it all clean, making a new...
Well done, Marvel.
I wish I could imitate Sean Connery and say never again.
Yes, it,
never say never again.
can't do it on cue.
No, I can't do it on cue. Do see the beast. Do have it in our sights. I'm sorry.
I can only do the one from League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
The league is set. The league is not set.
That's all I can do.
Now just never say never again like that.
Never say never again.
It doesn't sound right.
Sounds like you're Wilfred Brimley.
Diabetes.
Diabetes. No.
Ever seen Family Guy? I don't know why I hit him.
So, I mean, they started doing testing the waters on an event that happened over this summer. This year, it's still going on right now, called the Crisis of Infinite Spider-Verses, where they have all the different Spider-Mans from all walks of Spider-Man life joining forces to fight this common enemy. And that was received so well because they included every single incorporation.
Like the Scarlet Spider was there.
Every single one. The Spider-Man who used to sell Hostess Twinkies was in there. The Spider-Man from Spider-Man's and Friends was in there. The Spider-Man from the Electric Company was there. The Spider-Man from the Japanese Spider-Man was there. Spider-Man from the comic news strip was included in this whole
thing. Nicely done. Spider-Ham?
Spider-Ham was in there. Every single incarnation you could possibly think of Spider-Man is in this multi-universe thing. Sure, you know, every once in a while they had like a nod, or even the movie Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire, and the Spider-Man on Broadway were all included in this
universe. So even the TV show Spider-Man.
Even
the 70s TV show.
Every single Spider-Man that ever existed anywhere is included in this mashup.
Of course that's
going to
be well received, because that's all nostalgic and it's insane. It's out there. It's kind of zany.
And it's been hitting. And, you know, it's a serious story, though. Like, this guy is going around killing all the other Spider-Men.
It takes a genius to kind of incorporate all of that together, though.
Except the Hostess Twinkie Spider-Man
when he's hungry. They killed him.
They killed him.
Hey,
they killed
him. Spoilers.
It's already out there.
I haven't seen it. Oh, well. Spoilers.
They ain't killed him.
Hey, I quit the show because
I'm
spoilers.
Done.
So he's going around killing all the
Hostess
Spider-Man.
Hostess Twinkie Spider-Man is gone. That's it. I'm done.
And they actually made a joke in the serial that's in the, I guess it's still in the Daily News in New York, and I guess your local newspaper says, if it has comics at all, the Spider-Man comic strip, that each strip they keep on repeating what happened on the day before, so that way if you don't miss anything, and the villain's like, didn't we just talk about this 2 minutes ago? Didn't we just do this? Why are we? And he's like, I'm going to leave you guys alone. And he left. And it was in the strip. So if you're a Spider fan in any way, shape, or form,
it's going to work.
It incorporates it all into it.
Once they killed Devil Dog Spider-Man, I was out. I stopped reading
it. Yeah, he bailed on it.
Yeah. Ring Ding Spider-Man.
Enough of this. This is a farce. So
every single Spider-Man
this
that
can't
existed.
Happen.
So by testing it was like that, like, oh, this is going to
do well. Yeah, so we'll do it with the entire universe.
Do it with the entire universe, smash it all together.
That's just great.
The merchandising is mind-boggling for that when they introduce every aspect of that. Because now you got to go out and buy like 23 costumes.
And that's another thing that Marvel...
All the cosplayers, remember that.
That's another thing about Marvel, seeing as how they're owned by Disney, they're going to milk this for everything. So there's going to be video games that are tied into this.
Here's the craziness about it, though. Marvel Cinematic Universe is really literally destroying all the competition out there.
Yes.
So that's solidifying the Marvel Universe in ways that have never been solidified before for the mainstream audience, right?
Yes.
And in the midst of, and at the pinnacle, at the height of their solidification, their cinematic solidification of their comic book universe, they're going to end the comic book universe.
Yes.
Great. Great. That's
they are the Antichrist.
Because what's been probably happening, and I speculate, it's probably happening is that sales are not reflecting the...
Correct.
The comic sales are not reflecting the success of the cinematic universe.
Exactly.
So now they're going to do this entire giant shakeup and rattle the continuity of all of the books that they have in their universe in order to kind of try to boost the sales of the comic book in and of itself. But in the meantime, the movies are going to start adapting storylines from the universe that's been destroyed.
Exactly. That's exactly what's happening.
I don't have any words for it. Let's get Michael Bay in there. Just finish it off.
Let me explain the Disney theories. Or the Disney theorem. When Disney will not take a chance, and Disney does not believe in hills and valleys.
Nope.
When they're going for a valley, they stop dead and take a whole new course before knowing that this will pick up again. They don't want to get to that point.
That's why they dumped on John Carter,
right?
Yeah,
which they don't want to get to that point.
Dumped it hard.
Was considered going to hurt Disney. Like, oh, this is the end of Disney because it cost them so much money to make that movie.
Nothing. It didn't cost them a blink compared to what they spent to pay for Marvel and Lucasfilm.
Right. Yeah,
it didn't. It's not even a blink if they had that much.
But that guy's out of a job though.
Huh?
The guy who played.
Well.
Yeah.
No, the guy who greenlit the...
Oh, yeah, that guy's gone.
Case in point, when Disney took over ABC, and ABC was the number one network for years, because I was there. No, they were the number one network for years. Disney took over ABC, so their ratings dropped a little. The first thing Disney... It was called Black Monday. The first thing Disney did, they fired 200 old-timers who worked there to get rid of all their benefits, to get rid of, anything they could. They streamlined to get, and plus they did other little things here and there. They don't believe in...
Straight making money.
Yeah, making money. It's a corporation. When you look at Mickey Mouse and think he's cute, he goes home and puts on his executive suit after that and fires people.
Is driving the bulldozer that's knocking your house down while you're not looking.
For those of you interested in seeing how we're referring to Mickey Mouse, you can watch any episode of South Park where Mickey Mouse shows up, and you will see exactly what we're talking about. Lastly, none other than Stan Lee, the man himself, have commented on this whole... interchanging a universe.
As long as they keep paying me, I don't care what they do to my legacy.
As long as I can get a bit part in every one of those movies, I don't care.
He says, it's probably good. Anything they do that's unexpected and different usually captures the attention of the fans. People will want to follow it and see what happens and where it will lead. Marvel cannot keep doing the same stories over and over again.
True.
You have to come up with new angles and new approaches to things. I think it's probably a good idea. It sounds intriguing to me.
And seeing as how I'm set for life, I don't really care.
Keyword,
money.
Well, he can't say definitely. It's,
Well, no. Nobody knows for certain. And, look, it's a shakeup. Something's bound to happen. Nah. The good thing about it, if you're going to say that anything is good about it, is that... some of the continuity, some of their oldest titles are a little convoluted, a little hard to get into if you're just starting to... I wouldn't even know where to begin if I had just started reading comics like today. So I guess, with that in mind, starting all over again. But the problem is that the business plan is already on the table. It's already been done.
has already kind of failed. Exactly. It's already fallen through. Yeah. With DC, their only competition, their only solid competition out there. So to have Marvel
That's my major sticking point, is that that's what made them different. Yeah. We're not going to do what they did.
Yeah.
We didn't.
Can't you see?
We're better than you because we did it this way.
Can't you see that DC's house is on fire right now? Stop playing with matches. You know, just it's a warning. But no, we got this. We got the cinematic universe. We're riding high. Everything is great. Everybody loves our stuff. We can afford to, you know, to turn a bucket of cold water on top of our entire continuity.
Flipping this completely around. The best thing about this is for us here at the show, because we're always focusing on the independent guys, and they are doing a bang-up job, so it actually gives them a chance to shine better than anything else. I mean,
because that's gonna cause a huge void if Marvel's vanished, if their stuff is vanished.
And there's good stuff out there. There's a lot of great stuff out there.
And when that builds up, and when Disney sees that, they'll jump into that and do it all over again.
You're going to sell to us. No, we're not. Yeah. Yes, you are.
We'll sell out. Yeah. So all the future sellouts is good for them.
Exactly.
So we're ready for our break. We'll be right back with the Came From Radio.
Hi, this is Sue Lee from Face Off Season 2. You're listening to It Came From the Radio on WGBB.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
Power.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From the Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Toro, speaking.
Couldn't you be obsessed with some other show?
Tony Saladino and an amazing Hassan Gadon, which...
amazing. No, traveling. Traveling correspondent. Just give me the title.
Correspondent, Charlie Saladino.
No, no, no.
He got two titles. He got two titles. Yes. Hassan Gadon.
Get... traveling another obsession. Yes. For your... Because the Power Rangers thing...
more phenomenal.
Stop it.
He's stop 20, it. 20 years.
Yes.
Still going strong.
A lot of things 20 years.
Still going
there,
on.
There have been people who have been in jail for 20 years. It's not much to celebrate. It's not always a celebration point.
Yeah,
huh? Yeah, yeah, when it's over, so, right?
20 years. So
20, yeah, yay, 20 years.
Still in the air. We're going to go to that pizza party in April.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
It's
yeah.
April?
Oh, I can't wait till April so I can have some pizza.
Yeah, it was April. Yeah.
Oh, because I know this is no thanks. It's April.
Yeah, because the convention's
it's
in
a pizza
March,
party you never told anybody about.
Yeah,
April. So we're
especially the guy who set it up.
So this week we're going to be talking about the movie The Hobbit Part 3. And I'm probably sure we can talk about the other two, but Hobbit 3 is what we're going to be talking about today.
No, we're not
going to
discuss the other two.
For those of you who haven't heard a movie review show, which we haven't done in quite some time, this is a free-flowing conversation, so spoilers may and probably will be mentioned.
But let's try not to.
Right. So
Herman's not here, so.
So Herman Shemsinertri is not here. So for those of you who don't know, Hobbit is the third part of the Hobbit movie, Hobbit trilogy, which then, of course, leads into the Lord of the Rings trilogy. For full disclosure, I have not seen the Lord of the Rings movies. So what? I'm actually
God
seeing...
God in heaven, why am I talking to you?
So I'm actually seeing the movies in order, in quote-unquote order.
Only if you actually see the movies, though.
Right, well, I'm gonna,
when are you going to watch
now,
Lord of the Rings?
Now I'm going to have to go see the other 12 hours of this movie. Yes, 12 hours I think I'm going to have to
12,
see.
12, that's generous.
16 hours?
Yeah, something like that. Four we do the special editions, the super editions. Are like
if I'm going for I'm going to go all Lock, Stock, and Smoking Barrel. So
well, you got
to
wait then.
To go.
You have to wait. Because if you're going to do the special editions of The Lord of the Rings, you have to do the special editions of The Hobbit.
No.
Yeah?
No.
No, yeah?
No.
Yeah?
No, because...
Yes, you do. You said you're going to do it correctly, didn't you?
Right,
those were your words.
But I'm not going to watch the movie again. Oh, my God, I'm not going
to Well, then you're going to have to wait. You got to wait then.
And then I'm gonna, no, I saw the three Hobbit movies.
Then you have to only watch the theatrical versions of the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, whatever.
I have.
I'm going by what you said.
I'm
going
to see the other.
If you're not going to commit, then what are we doing the show for?
I'm going to watch the other one, so whatever, 16 hours of movie.
I watched those movies over and over again.
Yeah, but you're not Mark.
I
like just really strange and thinks that the Power Rangers is really great, but Lord of the Rings can, you know, go take a bath.
I have decided
Power Rangers in Middle Earth.
By the middle of the second movie.
Oh, second movie of what?
The Hobbit. By the middle of the second movie, I'm like, this is not for me. And I've decided it's not for
why
me.
Why wasn't it for you, Mark?
So, you know, let me tell you
why. Why are guys in spandex good for you, but not the Lord of the Rings?
Bless you. There's a loaded question.
Guys in space robots and spandex with helmets on. That's your thing for 20 years, but Lord of the Rings is not.
Let me tell you why.
He's so upset that I came
I am
in.
Going to tell you why.
Yes, go ahead.
Because Pete Jackson, good old Pete, he has beaten a dead horse with The Hobbit. The Hobbit basically was one movie, maybe two. But he took one book and stretched it to three movies. I've liked them, you know, but there is a little, you know, stretching there. Two movies I would have accepted.
Maybe that's what it is because I don't know. I'm just watching it. I watched.
Did you read the book?
I did not read the book.
Okay, well then, there you go.
Of course,
if you read books.
That's what I said. Of course, he didn't.
I read books.
If you read the book, you would have
appreciated
dealt
more.
With the. You would have dealt with the stretching.
Okay.
Because you know you would have known what was coming and said, how the hell is he going to do this or how is he going
to
do it?
So I'm watching this the third movie already, and we're finally getting to the big fight scene. I'm like, okay, and it just I I wasn't pulled into it. I don't know what it was. So it has to be that it's just not for me. You know, I'm not the audience for this thing. You don't have to like everything, but I'm just, this wasn't for me. The only thing I can appreciate was the fact that the beginning of the movie is how I believe the end of the second movie should have been. And I was like, oh, that would have been a nice ending for the second movie, dealing with Smaug, as opposed to leading with that in the third movie. I was like, oh, that would have been nice. And then I'm just sitting there like, I wonder what the other five armies are. Because I'm counting armies. I'm like, well, there's only three armies here. And that doesn't count as an army. And I'm just watching and just kind of, all right. And then with Legolas, it's like, all right, you're going to go be in another movie. Okay, bye. And I was like, all right, I'm done. That was my experience. So
that's what your handicap was, because you didn't see the Lord of the Ring trilogies. Mm-hmm. That was a handicap to you.
Right, but, you know, in theory, if you see the prequel, it's supposed to be in order, you know, chronological, not how it goes. So.
Every movie now has a prequel.
A lot of the gags in the prequel are predicated on you having seen the original story, so that you get the gags in the prequel. Like, oh, that's how that's set up. Or, you know, the whole sequence where Legolas is talking to the other character, Gloin, and he's looking at his locket, and he says, who is this? And he goes, that's my boy Gimli. That's a whole gag that you won't get.
But if you see it now, this other
you
part,
you'll see
like,
it
oh,
now, but you're, but you're
about.
Already,
I got
but
it.
You're
all
already,
right.
No, you wouldn't call
you're
it
already
like that.
Tarnished.
Yeah, you're already tarnished. You're already decided, I ain't watching these good. Again. It's not good. I'm not, this is not for me. So,
well, I mean, the first movie.
Morphin time.
It took forever. The first movie took forever to get to where they needed to get to. And then it was like, we still got two more movies to go with this. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
I don't get this. I don't understand. I get you not liking the film. I get that. I don't get there's so much more that we have to sit through. I don't understand that. I don't understand in this day and age, like, you're getting too much movie now. It's like someone once, a long time ago, was complaining. We were all sitting at a party or whatever, and the guy was going on about the Game of Thrones books. And he goes, well, there's too many descriptions in here, and there's too many descriptions about food, and there's too many descriptions of the scenery and the world and this, and I'm like, well, it's a book. Are you saying there's too much book in the book? You know, there's too many words in the book. It's a book. It's not a rapid fire experience. And the thing about I understand that the Lord of the Rings films they're a genre in unto themselves, and you're supposed to kind of be enamored with the world, with the creatures, with the mythology, with the scenery. So if you're not into that, but then, you know, the theory is you shouldn't have gone to see it in the first, because it's not like they kept it a secret about what was going to be depicted in the film.
And I'm like, you know, this might be interesting. Let me go check it out, seeing as how I hadn't seen the other one. Yeah, and this is supposed to be the first one. I'll go watch it. Let's see if I can get
into
it.
Why'd you battle through the other two if you watched the first one and didn't really get it?
I've seen the first one, got to see the other one.
See, then that's the problem. You know, that's nobody's problem.
You,
but you
made it a chore.
Yeah.
instead of
just like, look, I'm going to, I got to sit through this because I sat through the other one.
Sometimes
it was almost like he was channeling through
me. Sometimes the sequel can.
No.
I've seen it a couple of times.
Usually,
like, wow,
it doesn't,
is,
though. If you're going to decide.
The Conjuring.
Oh.
I saw The Conjuring. I was like, eh. But then they made a second one. I was like, well, I got to see the second one. And I appreciated the second one more than I did the first one. Batman Returns. I didn't care for the first Batman. The Michael Keaton, Tim Burton Batman.
You and like Batman Returns better than the Batman.
I did enjoy the second Batman. I'm like, huh. All right, I enjoyed this more. Maybe because even the second Mummy, I enjoyed that more than the first Mummy. Maybe because they were building upon what was already there, so it was more familiar to me and I was able to get into it. Because the complaints that I had about the first Mummy movie was the same thing that happened in the second Mummy movie. Because the first Mummy movie, it felt like I was missing something. In the first Mummy movie, the interaction with the characters felt like I was like they're expecting that we were already far ahead of ourselves than we should be. But then the second movie had the exact same interactions as that, and I felt I appreciated that more because it built upon what was already there. So that might be it too. That's just what it was. I watched it, and I'm like, all right. So now I've seen these three. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna see the other one, see how this ends up, and then I'll be done. And then it might actually be good. You know, I'm all going in with open mind. Yeah, this might be good. This might be better. I'm going in with an open mind to it.
Not
going to
be good, because The Hobbit is actually a very simple story. And if it was, if you're sitting there going, it was too much, we're going to have to deal with it.
It's too much if it's spread out through three movies.
First of all, Peter Jackson, we're going to go
over here to this mountain, right? And then they didn't get to the mountain by the end of the first movie. I'm like, they didn't get there.
Well, they got two other movies to go. This is what I'm saying. It could have been a very long movie.
But in the context of, I can't hear. Everything's all right. No one's hurt. In the context of the not getting to the mountain, they kind of ran into a bunch of orcs. And I mean, there was a lot of adventure. It wasn't like they were just walking and going, you know what?
I think I'm going to start investing in real estate once I get back to the Shire. Stuff happened. They got on some eagles, and eagles didn't even take them all the way. Like, couldn't you at least take them the rest of the way? Because I'm like, because now I'm thinking, something big's going to happen when we get to the mountain.
But that's the problem. That's the problem with today. It's the wonder. People aren't willing to deal with the wonder.
But people don't have the aspect of the wonder because it's not for me.
Again, if the Eagles took them all the way, it'd be two movies.
First of all, Peter Jackson wanted to do the movie in a movie, and then he decided he'd have to stretch it into two movies, and the studio was like, no, we want another trilogy. So find a way to make another trilogy. Right. And he basically, everything that's in the book... It's in the movie, along with some of the stuff that was told about the book extra in the appendices of The Return of the King. So actually, all of it is Tolkien, except for the love affair between the dwarf and the elf. And it's just basically information that's there. I get that people, maybe if you don't like Lord of the Rings, maybe if you don't like adventure movies, I understand that. So you just stay away from them because it's not like it's a mystery.
Charlie.
It's not like it's a mystery what these movies are about in the trailers or whatnot. But, you know, I don't understand people going, well, there's too much of it. You know, there's too much. I don't understand getting...
Too much of the same. Maybe that was...
It's not the same, though.
It felt the same. To me, I'm just saying, it's just to me, and that's why I decided...
Because you don't know anything. You're not immersed into the world.
They didn't drag me in. They didn't get me in. They didn't sell it to me. And so I was kind of on the outside, just kind of watching it.
I get that, and that's a common... That is like a common response from people. It's like, oh, it didn't grab me. It didn't take hold of me, which is fine, you know. But there's a part of you that resists... being taken hold of,
like when I'm watching.
I've seen movies that other people say are great, and I've gone in with an attitude like this probably is gonna bite, and I've not been dragged in because of my preconceived notion of it. So I mean, you know, I mean,
so what did you guys think of the movie?
Well, I think anybody who hates this movie is an idiot.
Listen,
that's the end of my opinion. I am thrilled
to hear Hassan's version because it thrills me to the core that you have somebody from this generation who gets it. You know, senior correspondent over here who has read the books in the 70s and waited this long for somebody to actually do it right. Is a thrill for me. So he can make it four movies. I know the story. I'll know what he puts in, what he does. He can make it four or five movies. I'm thrilled that this man has accomplished what no other movie maker could have done. You wanna love this movie, go see the cartoon that was out in, I don't know when they put that cartoon out.
Probably 74, 75. I was a kid when I saw it.
Oh, yeah.
It's pathetic. Yeah, it's not good.
Now, to know what The Hobbit's about, to read the book, and Hassan gets, I'm not saying you don't get it. I'm just saying.
I don't.
Did you read the book?
No.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
This is what we're saying. We're not saying that you're ignorant. We're just saying that if you didn't read the book,
right?
Anyone who read the book, anyone who loved the concept of Middle Earth and all this
mythology,
this story,
right?
I don't care how old you are.
That's for them,
right? Appreciates what what Jackson, I more than Hassan, because I've been waiting for this for years.
Right.
My favorite movies are the Lord of the Rings movies, because I've been waiting for that. No one was able to do that in my time when I read those books.
And they did it very well. I mean, visually, it was amazing.
God. And they did The Hobbit very well.
That's what I don't get. It's just guys, I mean, breaking it down, not getting into, you know, the Lion of Durin and all the intrigue that's in the actual books and stuff. It's guys with swords killing ugly guys with swords.
Right.
So what's not grabbing you? You know, it's like it's just action and adventure. It's lengthy. It's blah blah. And there's a lot of talk, but I mean, what doesn't get you? Like, if you watch Braveheart, it's kind of like, you know, you can get the same level of enjoyment out of it as you do a Mel Gibson period piece action movie, or Gladiator, or one of these other films. So that's what I'm saying is, like, there's a forceful resistance to it. And I think that's because of it's kind of like the prequels. It's kind of like Star Wars. There's a preconceived notion of, I'm not going to get it. Because, and not saying that you're not allowed to like it, but I'm saying every time I hear why people don't like it, the reason never makes much sense.
Maybe I'm not a epic type of movie guy. I mean, I never saw Braveheart. I never saw Gladiator.
No.
Orphan Time.
The only thing I've seen was, I would say I've seen Ben-Hur.
Ben-Hur?
Ben-Hur.
Yeah, Ben-Hur.
Okay. Yeah, that's all right. That's Easter. That's every Easter.
But, so...
That's, all right. Okay.
It's like,
so why are you reviewing this?
It's
movie?
Like it's like, you know, gangster movies. I don't really watch gangster movies. I don't really watch dramas. I don't really watch. There's certain things I just don't watch.
Right. Okay.
Military movies, I'm not a big fan, but I saw Glory, and I love that movie. And I'm not
Glory. Wow.
A war type of guy. So I'm like, well, you know, say, oh, this is a movie about war. I'm not going to go see that movie. But I wound up seeing Glory, and I was like, this is a really good movie. So it's possible that other war movies are great too. But it's just it's not my thing.
Who was in Glory?
Glory was Matthew Broderick.
And Morgan Freeman.
Oh, okay.
Carrie Elwes, I believe.
Carrie Elwes, yes.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I'm not a big war movie, but like I saw Fury, and I thought that was good.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
Right,
yeah.
So, you know, I have my thing that I enjoy, and then the ridiculousness and some of the serious stuff, but...
All right.
So this just wasn't but for me, and I just couldn't get into it.
Not to sound like Carl Sagan, but there's billions and billions of people who are waiting for this.
Right.
Because the book... This is The Hobbit. This is the... This is the reason for the fellowship. This is the reason, and they don't
the
really get
started all right,
and they don't really get into the ring
until right,
which was
right,
beautifully done,
wonderfully so. Done. And now, if you didn't know about it, you'd be saying, "Well, why don't they do something else with the ring? Can't they do more with the ring?
Right.
Why didn't he tell Gandalf about the ring?
Right?
Gandalf knows.
So,
which was great.
Yeah,
which was a great scene.
Yeah.
See, in no way, shape, or form, am I saying this is a bad movie. I'm not saying it's a bad movie.
No, I'm just
saying
know,
it's not
just,
for me.
I'm just going off of how you said, well, there was too much, and it was it lasted too long.
I'm sitting there, I'm like, I wasn't engrossed in the movie, so I'm just sitting there, kind of just back watching this thing, like, all right, I can see what's happening.
I'm just fascinated when people say they're not interested.
Even Bilbo's version. There and back again. It's like, we went there, yeah, and we came back again. And this is what happened between. We defeated a dragon. There was a lot of stuff that happened. We got the them back their homes, and, you know.
When I was a kid, there used to be these adventures where there was always a lot of stuff happening, and it was always, you know, and it was always fraught with peril, but... Once you got to the end of it, you realize, wow, these guys like went through a lot of stuff. There were a lot of moments in the journey where it could have just ended, you know, really horribly for everybody. And so when I watch them, as long as they are cohesive and they work in conjunction with each other, I don't mind the length of it. You know, that's what I don't understand about people talking about this one's like it's too long. It's like if he had decided to cram The Lord of the Rings into one movie, they would be complaining if it's too short. So it's like, okay, I understand being upset that a 1,000-page book is turned into a 2-hour movie.
Right.
But I don't mind a 300-page book being turned into into 3 movies.
Right.
If he can, if it if he doesn't, if there's no space aliens in it, C-3PO doesn't show up at the end and you know and open the bunker and the shields go up. I mean, as long as it's, crazy things don't start happening just to fill the time.
It's like being a salad guy, you know. I'm not a salad guy, so it's like that's a lot of salad. It's just
right, but I mean a lot of stuff. I'm not gonna make this a personal thing, but a lot of stuff with you is a preconceived. Like I have decided that I don't like this, and therefore I'm a person who doesn't do this, and so there's not a lot of room for improvement. I mean, or not a lot of room for investment of new things with that kind of mentality. You are not the only one who has that. A lot of people have that mentality. That's kind of what the problem with this movie has been. Because I've read a lot of people like, well, they shouldn't have turned it into three movies. I was like, okay, yeah, but what else is wrong with it other than that? You know, well, the elf and the dwarf. Okay, that's one thing. Put that aside, right? I get it. But because, you know, we do live in a world in our society, 55% women, and there's no women in either Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit. So we got to do something, because that's a lot of money over there. Gotcha. What else is the problem? Oh, well, people have been adapting books into movies that haven't really tantalized people
correct.
For generations. So that's why I always get on people. I don't really mind it. You didn't like it. If you don't like it, you don't like it. I suggest if you don't like The Hobbit, don't watch Lord of the Rings. Because it's much, much more of the same. In fact, it's overextended more of the same. All right? I'm just letting you know. I'm sure you're going to go ahead and do it because you got your own way. You have to fulfill your own way.
Yeah.
More than time! Exactly. Exactly. But I don't mind that you didn't like it. It's just the reasons that people give for the fact that it shouldn't have happened in the first place, or that it was bad because it was too long. That's what gets me frazzled. No, so that's what I'm saying.
Fair enough. How much time we got left, Brian? We got
no time.
We got 4 minutes left. So
I liked it. Go see it. Done.
3D, not 3D. Did you see it?
It doesn't matter. I didn't see it in 3D.
I didn't see it in 3D. I saw.
You don't need 3D. I think 3D gives you epileptic fits.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I did see it in 3D, and that's how much it mattered. Okay? I did. There you go. Case
yeah,
in
exactly.
Point. That's how much it mattered.
I saw it in 3D. I just realized that because I remember I spent like 5 minutes trying to wrestle the... Because I'm still wearing glasses. I spent 5 minutes trying to get the 3D glasses over my glasses.
There you go, folks. It really doesn't matter.
So I did see it in 3D and it doesn't matter. Terrible. I've seen it again recently in regular dimension or two dimension and it's fine.
I saw all three movies in 3D and I thought that, you know...
And you hated it.
Really beautiful. It's beautifully done. The technology is here. 3D is—it's done. It's great.
Right.
So if you are a fan of the stuff, if you love it
the
in 3D,
stuff.
Well, the subject
stuff.
Matter.
Well, I
say go see it and see it in 3D.
I'm saying that from seeing it, and I'm hoping you're going to agree with me. Is like now I have the perception in my mind of, the three Hobbit movies on a. A scale going just up till the uppermost point of a mountain with all the six movies. It's climb.
It's Disney. Yeah. It's the Disney.
It's
going up,
no going down.
No,
it's a progressive climb, and it is progressive.
Yeah.
And when you get to the top, as for me, when the end, the Return of the King, the end,
right.
I was like, yes. Being a Hobbit fan and Lord of, I was like, yes, thank you, Peter Jackson. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So, yes, I love The Hobbit.
Thank you for entertaining us.
Go see it. Yeah.
Thank you for making three more movies and entertaining us out of nowhere.
Exactly.
Thank you for another trilogy.
Yeah.
So that about does it for this week on
Does It Really?
Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBB.
I'm not coming back.
If you miss any part of this show,
tough.
You can go to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com. Listen to the archives, which will be up in a week or so.
Do it.
Us on iHeartRadio, so make sure you check us there. Like us on Facebook.
Do
follow
it.
Us on Twitter at ICFTR. It came from the radio.
Done.
I always mess that up. And we'll see you next week.
Take it easy.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.